Okay, so we're on Daf Memtet. The Dara Memtet, Amud Aleph 49a, page 97. It's new parak. So the Mishnah here is discussing if a person makes an eder that will prohibit him from different items. So we've spoken about in the past is an idea of an adarim halech parlashom b'nei adam. When it comes to adarim, would we construe it the way people speak? That's the definition of the words. So we're going to have some questions about definitions of words. So hanoder min hamavushal, the person who makes an eder that barred him from eating that which is mavushal, lutarbitz leiva shalot. So mavushal means cooked in water is mavushal. So if a person makes an eder from eating something which is mavushal, he's allowed to eat sali, that which is roasted, and he can have that which is shalot. So if you look at the Rashi slash Mefarish, he says shalot is mavushal yotermidai. It's like overcooked. And then if you look as well in the in Tosfos, he says in the Rush. The Rush says, where's the Rush? One second, since I'm going to find it here. Yeah, so the Rush says, it's lower down in the Daf. So that's the typical definition of shaluk. But if you look in the Ran says shaluk means atypically here. It means not cooked adequately. Let's do the Ran, the first Ran on the Perek. That Salim Shaluk are not included with the term of Bushal. Shaluk, Bashil below Bashil. Shaluk means it's like partially cooked, is the way the Ran understands it. Even though generally Shaluk means like overcooked, he says, can you read in Perak below Basar? Hakavedo Seret Vena Neseret, Shaluka O Seret Vena Neseret. He says, in other words, if the liver, if something is very cooked, is Aser, then it becomes Aser. Shaluk tahacha bashil v'lo bashilhu. He says, when it comes over here, the Ran says, shaluk means atypically, means not adequately cooked. So the Ran takes it that if it's something which is overcooked, overboiled, that would be called mavushal. So he assumes here in the Mishnah, when it's, in other words, we're looking for items that are not included in the term of mavushal. Like mavushal, I boil something, it's mavushal. So sali, roasted, is not included in mavushal. The Ran figures if something is like overboiled, that would be mavushal, so it must be that it's underboiled. That's what he's thinking in the chat, but we saw it's not close to be shown him. Okay, let's see back in the Mishnah, on the second line, on Lim Tanamad Aleph, Amar, konam tavshil she'eni toim. Now here he says konam, that which should be prohibited like a korban, tavshil she'eni toim. So before it's mavushal, then we talk about a tavshil. So we don't know this yet, but the Gemara is going to explain that tavshil means something that would be eaten with bread. That's what the Gemara is going to explain. He says, so asur b'maaseh kedera harach, so he's prohibited in eating that which is like a loose consistency. He says, mutar ba'ave, but I can have something with a thick consistency. So apparently, the Gemara is going to explain, like with their breads, they would have like a loose sauce type of thing. So, if something cooked like that, so if a person says, konam tavshil sheino toim, so tavshil means something which is cooked loosely, so that I have it with the bread. But something which is cooked more, then it's not covered with that nether. So, umutar, the beitza tormuta with lad haramuta. One would also likewise be permitted to eat the beitza tormuta. So the beitza tormuta, we don't know what it is yet, but the Gemara in tomorrow's daf is going to explain beitza tormuta. It's cooked in a way that you could swallow it like with one gulp. It almost becomes smaller and swallow with one gulp. That'd be permissible. And then he says with the lad haramuta. The lad haramuta, the Gemara is going to have two pshatim. This is today's Tuesday, right? So on Thursday's daf, it comes out that it's, the Gemara ends up saying that it's, one second, it's Shmuel says, kara karkuzoi, like the gourd, from the karkuzian gourd, or the karkuzian squash, whatever. So that's what the Dalat Ramuta is. Okay. A noder bima'asei kedera, if a person makes a neder, bima'asei kedera. Kedera is something, you cook things in a pot, in asur bima'asei retachta. So he's only prohibited bima'asei retachta. So one second. Yeah. So it means that which is boiled and everything is similar to be boiled. He says, now one second, let me get the Zaran on this. One second. Not here. One second. One second. Yeah. So it means like this, that certain things they would cook in a kedera, and then other things would be cooked in a kedera, and afterwards they put it in an ilfas, which is another type of frying pan. So if a person makes a neder mimasa kedera, means that which is cooked in the kedera, that'll be prohibited. But if it's cooked in the kedera and then in the ilfas, not. He says, in asfin mimasa rikata, that which is boiled in the kedera. Anamar, konam hayurei l'kedera sheni tuaim. If a person says anything that goes into the kedera, I'm not going to taste, asur b'chol mitbash l'kedera, then that would be anything that's cooked in a kedera under any circumstances. So the Rashi slash Mefarish has been rach bein ave, whether it's thin or thin. Now, give me one second. Right. So he says Maase Kedera is through extensive boiling, is what he says. That's what Maase Ritakta is. Anything's cooked through extensive boiling. He says, but if he says Konam Hayorei L'Kedera Shein Toaim, he says that's anything that's cooked in a pot, and during the Kedera, anything cooked in a pot, even if only is minimum boiling. Okay? So, yeah, he has it. He's got it here also.
Right? That's the Rambam. You can look at that. It says dish made of cooked cereals and anything that melts while it's being cooked. That's the Meiri, citing Rashi. And anything that doesn't require that beyond, doesn't have to go into a stew pot.
Okay. Anyway, the main thing is that the Maase Kedera is extensive boiling, and the Yorei Kedera just means like minimal boiling. Okay, that's the basic idea. Okay. So, any questions, comments, thoughts, anything we did in the mission so far? Everybody good? Okay. Let me make sure there's nobody else waiting here. We're going to start. Okay. Let me go on. Okay. We're on the first line in the Gemara. So we're focusing on the first line in the Mishnah. First line in the Mishnah said, if a person makes a neder from that which is mevushal, he's allowed to have that which is roasted, that which is saline. So the Gemara says, Tanya, we learn the Braisa, Rabbi Yoshia, Oser. Rabbi Yoshia says, if a person makes a neder from Mavushal, he's prohibited in something which is saline. So it's a machloket denayim. Biaf pishen rai l'davar, even though there's no conclusive proof that it's this way, zeik l'davar, you have a remnant to it. Shenemar, he quotes a Pesach in Divrei Yamin Beis. This is talking about Pesach the Yoshiahu. If you remember, on Pesach, we read about Yoshia Omelet. He had like this, he was a good king, and he had a wonderful Pesach, the Pesach Hazeh, like it's in the time of, I think, you know, Moshe Rabbeinu, there hadn't been such a Pesach like Yoshiahu did. So he says, that they were mavashel. He uses the term mavashel. They cooked the Pesach ba'esh in fire. So even though we know that the Pesach is sliyesh, it's roasted, but the pasuk in the kuvim refers to it as bishul. So that's a zecher ledavar. You want to say that's a remembrance of the thing, of the item. In other words, that supports Rabbi Yoshia that mevushal also includes sali. Mevushal also includes sali. So the Gemara says, lein b'hak miflug. Should we say that the machloket between our Tana and Rabbi Yoshia, he says, Rabbi Yoshia sabar lech kar l'shon Torah. We think Rabbi Yoshia holds that we look to the Torah the way, like, you know, biblical Hebrew, and in other words, for guidance in construing Nedarim. And Lechora, we think that our Tana holds, we use common, like, vernacular, the way people speak. So we think, as used in Tanakh, we see Bishul is used even for Tzali, but as people speak, we think they just Bishul is Bishul and Tzali is Tzali. So the Gemara says, low. No, we could say that everybody holds when it comes to Dharam that we follow Lashon B'nei Adam. And that's the key line to remember in your mind. If you get those 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, those 6 words, that you know, you hold that klal, you're good. He says, Marki Atre, Umarki Atre. But each one was speaking about the way the terms were used in their locality. Ba'atra Tana Dilan, Lisli Karolei Tzali, Lugushal Karolei Lugushal. In the locality of our Tana, they called Sli Sli, the roasted, and Mavushal Mavushal, cooked with water, they cooked that way. But after Rabbi Yoshia, from the neighborhood of Rabbi Yoshia, Apil Sli Karum Mavushal, that which we call Sli, they would also call that Mavushal. So Mavushal would be Mavushal, Mavushal would also be Sli. So the Gemara says, Vakra Nasiv Lo. Yeah, but if that's the case, so why did Rabbi Yoshia quote this Pasuk? Rabbi Yoshia says, Zechel Davar, this, but it's not turning on the Pasuk, it's turning rather on usage. So he says, Asmata Ba'alma. That's just an Asmata Ba'alma. So Rabbi Leibowitz was mentioning this machlok between the Rabbam and the Ritva. Rabbam says, when we say Asmata, it's just like a mnemonic device that for us to remember what the Shitot were. And Ritva says, you know, that's Minut, that's Apikursus to say that way. He says that it comes out from the Ritva that Torah like planted hints along the way to guide the Chachamim how things should be. Okay, now, hold it 1 second. Let's take a look, though. Look downstairs at the bottom of, in my Gemara, at the bottom of the Daf of Gilyon HaShas. So if you look at the Gilyon HaShas, he says, Shinova Yeshua Pesach, and Rabbi Leibowitz says this as well, it says, Kashali, Amai Lamaiti Mikra B'Torah, the Parshat Rei, it would be Pesach, to be Shal Tavi Achalta. So the Rabbi Kiva Eger asks, why here are we quoting a Pesach from Divrei Yamin, which is nice, but we have a Pesach front and center from Parshat Rei. In Parshat Rei, it says, by the Korban Pesach, Uvi Shal Tavi Achalta. You'll cook it and you'll eat it. So why don't we put, isn't that Pasuk better? So he says, V'yesh l'ayin. So the way, this is what Rabbi Sarfati was saying, like he says, the way the Marashah uses it, when it's V'yesh l'ayin, like I don't answer, but you be my ayin and you figure it out. So there's a lot of different answers that are given to this. But one answer is given by the Chasam Sofer. The Chasam Sofer says that if we were left to our own devices with this Pasuk and the Chumash, so I would have thought like this, that I would have thought that maybe like Pesach Mitzrayim, we know there's certain dinim by Pesach Mitzrayim that don't apply to Pesach Dorot. So I would have thought that Sliyesh is only a din by Pesach Mitzrayim. And then afterwards, when it says Bishul, I'm cooking it. In other words, I'm not roasting it. I'm cooking. In other words, that's what I would say. I would say Pesach Mitzrayim, yet Sliyesh. But Pesach Dorot could be Mavushal. And it says in Parsha Rei, Bishul Tavi Achaltu. Yeah, you'll cook it. So he's got the Pasuk in Divrei Yamim, and there it says, he says, Vayavashlu HaPesach Ba'esh Kamishpat. They cooked it in fire, presumably roasting, and that's more Mokra. That's more Mokra. All right, they have other answers also, but that's it for that. Now, all right, one minute. Now, with this thing, with Mavushal, one second. Let me go a little further, okay? And then we'll see. All right, I'm going to go further unless anybody has any questions. Everybody good? Okay, so we're 5 lines above where it gets wide. I'm Mem-Ted, I'm an Aleph, 49A. Everybody with me? Josh with us? Okay. So, Konam Tavshil B'chulei. So we're moving to the next phrase in the Mishnah. So the next was Konam Tavshil She'in Toim. If a person makes a Konam, that he's not going to eat the tavshil. So I explained already, tavshil means something, we don't know this, but the Gemara is going to explain, it means something that I would eat with bread. Well, lechora. This is konam tavshil sheni toim. So he's asur b'maasek de'rach. So he can't have maasek de'rach, like the liquidy type of porridge or whatever. Mutar ba'ava, but he could have thick porridge that they would not eat with the bread. Says, so let's see back on the Gemara. So the Gemara is bothered by your, why is it mutar ba'ave? Why are you allowed to have like the thick porridge? Konam tavshil v'chulei, but I mean tavshil nadar. Why is the k'deira abba, the maasek k'deira abba, if it's a thick porridge, why is he permitted into it? He said from tavshil, that's also cooked. So amar abaye, haitanak v'mi d'vatachal be'rifta tavshil karulei. So the Tana of our Mishnah, the term tavshil means something that you would eat with bread. That's what he's saying. So apparently, like with the bread, like you were saying, like some sort of dip or whatever, that's the way to do it. If it's thicker, they wouldn't eat that with the bread. So we're bringing a braisa to support this idea. A neder min a tavshil, if a person makes a neder prohibiting from eating a tavshil, a surbachul min a tavshil, so he can't have any type of tavshil, but a surbatzaliyu b'shalot uvushal. He can't have that which is roasted or boiled, and boiled, maybe it's like we said, either very boiled or a little boiled, the bushal regularly cooked. But sort of hitriot rako shakol noplin b'hen pitam. Here's the key line. Once prohibited, but hitriot rako are the soft squash that sick people eat, the bread with. So you see that here in the Braisa prohibits eating the squash, because kolim eat that with bread. So when a person took a neder from a tavshil, he can't eat the squash that the kolim eat the bread with. So mela, you see that it's something that you would eat bread with. So the let me just look one second. Okay, the way that we got. Okay. Look, if I construe our Mishnah together with this Braisa, it would mean those things that you're eating with the bread. Even the cases in the beginning of the Braisa, Lakora, you eat it with bread. That's what we would be thinking. So let's take, let's look briefly at the Ran, four lines from the bottom. Is Kayaiv Tamadis from the Shaklon Oklin Bahan Piton. Since it gives the reason, because sick people eat the bread with it. Anything you would eat with bread is called a tavshil. That's what the Ran says. In other words, tavshil, well, you mean, does it have to be cooked at all? Is that what you're saying? What are you saying?
Tavshil, two things. Anything that's cooked and any liquid, like eating with bread.
Well, the way I understood it, tavshil means something that's cooked. Tavshil means something that's cooked, but it means something that's cooked that you're going to eat with the bread. That's what I would assume. Which is like, give me one second. Okay, look, one second. Huh? Okay. Yeah, that's mabushal. Tavshil. Yeah, tavshil means only that food that which is eaten bread. That's what tavshil means. Yeah. All right. He says, as long as the food is runny enough, it's called tavshil, even if it was roasted or undercooked. So somehow, whichever thing is runny, I guess. So yeah, the runny is the tchina. Yeah. All right. Let's take a look back on the Gemara. Okay. So the Gemara says, "Enis is true." That now the Gemara is like going on a tangent slightly. We said that the sick people eat the squash with the bread. Enis is true, but Rabbi Yirmiya chalash. Rabbi Yirmiya got ill. Al gabe who asked lasua. A certain doctor came to cure Rabbi Yirmiya. Chazakara demachad bevete. He saw a gourd or a squash lying in the house. Shapke v'nafa. He left the house and he left the house. Amar malchmota. This person's got the Malach Amabas there. I'm going to go cure him. In other words, how can I cure him? He's keeping like the poison in the house. So here we're saying, this is like the tangent, the cholim eat the squash with the bread, and mamela. But here it sounds like it's like poison. So the Gemara says, no kasha. There's no contradiction between the Braisa that said that the cholim eat the squash and this incident with Rabbi Yirmiya. Habarakiche habashune. That when the Braisa said the cholim eat the squash, it means like the soft, young, tender squash, that's good. Habashuni, but the hard, older squash, that's not good. Rabba Bar Ula Amar, Habakara Gufa, Habagabe Dikara. Rabba Bar Ula says the difference between the Braisa and the same Rabbi Yirmiya is the Braisa is talking about the soft innards of the squash. That's healthy. But Bakara Gufa, the squash itself, including like, I guess, the hard outer peel, that's not good. The Amar Rabbi Yehuda said, Luliva Dekara Basilka. It's like very healthy to have Luliva Dekara, like the innards of the squash together with beets. Luliva Dekitna Bekutcha, or to have the innards of the flax plant together with the kutach. The kutach is this like, milky concoction. With Devarza Asula Omro Befne Amaris. When you're not allowed to repeat this in front of an Amaris. So the Ran says, what's Befne Amaris? Look at the Ran. He says, three lines from the bottom, or two lines, Kadesh lo yikru pishtan l'kach. The Ran says, we don't want all the Amei Ha'aretz going ripping up all the pishtan left and right. The Tosfos, one second. If there's a Tosfos here, which is where Lewis was quoting, third wide line, my Gemara. Whereas that's from Omer b'fnehem, Tosfos shamal igam aleinu. This is a different reason. They make fun of us. But Omrim Shan Kovimili de Hukovit Ludabashas, that like we have like ridiculous things in our Gemara. So Kuntras has Rashi, the Rashi slash Befaresh. He has, well, I don't have it here. Yeah, we do. If you look in the Rashi slash Befaresh, Rashi says you shouldn't teach something that they benefit from. Really, what he's saying is hard to understand. He says, others say they shouldn't eat too much and destroy the whole, or the flax. And then, if you look at the Rashi says, Rashi says it's an alfaz and they'll make fun of us that it's a pashut. But Rav Leibowitz got into a discussion about like what are you allowed to teach, like the Am Haaretz. In other words, like it sounds like the Am Haaretz is gonna like scoff at the Torah. Is she allowed to teach? And so he was talking about like translating different works into English. And you run afoul of like this thing about teaching with the Am Haaretz. He quoted one source, you know, you shouldn't do it, but then he quoted another source, you should, or could. And he was saying how with the art school, they had like a zillion haskamot, you know, to say it was okay. All right, now let me just do a few more lines, then I'll pause and we'll come back. So on the bottom line, Rav Amar, Man Cholin Rabbanan. So Rav says, when, in other words, all the squash, whether it's soft, hard, whatever, that's bad for the regular cholah, for a garden variety sick person. When we said in the Brisa that cholim eat the squash with their bread, we weren't using cholin in the typical sense of the word. Using cholin is like a term used for the Tamid Chachamim or the cholim. It was Tamid Chachamim study Torah, like they get weak and like it's Metish Poko, weakens your strength. So when it says cholin there, it doesn't mean like sick, it means like a Tamid Chacham. He says, Rabba Latame, Rabba was following his sheep, the Dhamma Rabba, turn page on the top line. Kaman Maslin al Ktsire Vimriye, according to whom, which opinion do we pray for the Ktsire and the Mriye? So Ktsire means the sick people, Mriye will say the feeble people. Kaman Kribiosi. So Kribiosi, so the Ran says in the Gemara Rosh Hashanah, it says, Adam Nidon B'choyom. He says, according to Kribiosi, a person is judged every day. So we're gonna pray for the person that way. Dilu Rabbanan, Dilu Dilu Rosh Hashanah, but when Chamim, you're just on Rosh Hashanah, that's it. He says, Kevan Shnigmar Dinan in Tefillah Moela. And once the din is it, there's nothing to talk about anymore. So, but going back to the Gemara, so Kaman Rabbi Yossi, Midamar Ksirim Rie, but since he's using the term Ksirim Rie, Shvamina Ksirim Ksirim Mamash. Ksirim means the actual sick people. Rie Rabbanan. And if you look at the Rashi slash Bafarish, the top line, the Slina Ksire, Rope Choleim Yisrael. He says on Ahmed Bey's Josh. He says Ksire Masina Ksire Rope Choleim Yisrael. Like you healed like in Shmona Esrei. Rie Al Platat Sofrehen. So there's a piece here from the Daf Digest, or no, the Yalat Daf rather. So he goes through the Gemara. So he says the Gemara Rosh Hashanah on Tetzayin cites the speak with the Rabbanan Rabbi Yossi. So when a person is judged in heaven for his deeds. Come to certain persons judge on Rosh Hashanah. Jubiosi maintains the person is judged daily. Rava on Ardaf comments the custom to pray year round for the welfare of Sire and Mri, sick and weak people, forced Rabbiosi's view. According to Rabbanan, since the fate of a sick and weak people is predetermined at the beginning of the year, offering prayers during the year on their behalf is pointless. He says, note the following discussion centers on the above cited assertion of Rava is noteworthy, however, the Gemara Rosh Hashanah cites a dissenting view, which suggests that Rabbiosi agrees that it is beneficial to pray year-round on behalf of the sick and infirm. Despite a person's preordained fate, this view maintains, contrary to Rava, that even after one's fate has been decided, the Gemara Gzar Din can be overturned through prayer. Yeah, he says, now, Rabbi Yossi says, Adami Demachol Yom. I think he means according to Chachamim, I think he meant, yeah. Let me get my pencil. I don't have my pencil here, but, okay, now, now, the Meiri distinguishes between a general prayer on behalf of all sick people and a personal prayer on behalf of a specific sick person. Although the Rabbanim consider pointless to pray for the general welfare of the sick, since everyone's fate is sealed in Rosh Hashanah, they agree that Hashem listens to prayers offered on behalf of a specific sick person, whether on behalf of oneself or one's friend. As Gemara Brachim Daf Yud says, a person must never despair from Hashem's mercy, even the sword of death is upon his throat. The Meiri thus indicates that according to the Rabbanim, there is no point in reciting the bracha Refa'inu Hashem Chule, that's a general prayer on behalf of all sick people. And the Mefarish Rashi, likewise, in the case that we cite the Bracha Refa'inu, Shmona Esrei, because we probably opinion of Rabbi Yossi, that people are judged daily. However, according to the Rabbanan, there is no point in reciting Rifa'inu, since the fate of the sick has been sealed in Rosh Hashanah. Tosfos, as well as several other Rishonim in Rosh Hashanah, find it inconceivable that the text of Bar Shmona Esrei is not universally accepted, and that the inclusion of Rifa'inu should be a matter of dispute. Tosfos suggests that prayer cannot alter one's preordained fate only if it is a tefillat yachid, a prayer on behalf of an individual. However, a tefillat derabim, prayer offered on behalf of the tzibur, can indeed effectively alter one's preordained fate. Accordingly, says Tosfos, the Rabbanan agree that it is appropriate to cite Rifa'inu Shmona Esrei. This is a prayer on behalf of the general public. When the Gemara says the prayers for the sick are appropriate only to Rabbi Yossi, referring to prayers that people recite on behalf of individuals. So here it's saying individuals not effective, and but for the tzibur would be. And we had the other, I think earlier with the was it the Meiri, someone said before that it would, I thought the other way around. But Tosos adds that even if one prays privately on behalf of an individual sick person, if he concludes with the customary phrase, B'toshar Kol Yisrael, this is considered to be the barabim and it's an appropriate prayer even according to the Rabbanan. Alternatively, Tosos' first answer suggests that even though the Rabbanan said that one's fate is Kriya Rosh Hashanah, heaven decrees only whether one will get sick. In other words, even if I say everything's on Rosh Hashanah, this is will I get sick. However, the duration of one's illness is not determined. Therefore, prayer for the sick during the year is appropriate. When Rava questions the effectiveness of prayer, he's focusing only on prayers for the strength and endurance of Maria, weak people, Tamid Chamim, who strain themselves with the study of Torah, as Gemara explains. According to the Rabbanan, there is no point in praying for that a weak person's health should not deteriorate because whether or not he will get sick is predetermined Rosh Hashanah. So it could be. So according to Rabbi Yossi, we say, Badai, it makes sense to pray for them, but it's difficult because we have the special bracha in Shmona Esrei. It's hard to understand that the Chamim would say you don't say that special bracha. So you could say that even the Chamim will say you have a special bracha, because special bracha is for the whole tzibur, and that we could say would be effective. And then even for an individual, you could say B'tok Shar Kol Yisrael would also be effective. Or you could say that the Chamim hold that the only thing that is preordained is whether you'll get sick, but whether you have the refuah, it's a whole different parsha, and in that sense, they would agree everybody to have the tefillah. All right. Now, the bottom line is, though, with the squash, we do the feast for the squash. Now, let me say one other thing. Rav Leibowitz was talking about this idea of tavshil. How do we define a tavshil? So here we're saying a tavshil is that which we eat with bread. So he was quoting from the Chidah, you know, on Erev Tishbav. So you can only have one tavshil on Erev Tishbav going into the fast. So he was saying, let's say a person wants that you have a cooked dish. Let's say I'm having a cup of coffee with it. So would that count as a tavshil? We just said like something which is loose with it, or a cup of tea. So the chidah, I think from the chidah, it sounds like it says it would. But then he quoted somebody else, says no, he doesn't agree with that, and it says what? Yeah, but it means that we're calling it tavshil. Yeah, well, I don't know. In other words, that which you would eat with bread and is loose. So I guess the coffee and the tea maybe it comes like that. I don't know if there has to be a dip per se, but that which is eaten with bread. So, and then he was saying that you see, like Elder Gemara is like, it says on Erev Pesach, like the person shouldn't have, like, a tavshil from Mincha, you know, going from Chatzi Shah to Mincha. And it doesn't mean that you can't have a cup of coffee then and stuff like that. So, they will have a different definition. I didn't understand why it's even a question, Michal, because here we're talking about the Darim, which is Lashon B'nei Adam. Over there with the Tavshil, I don't know what's turning it, what my sense is making, is talking about, you know, Lashon B'nei Adam with that. Okay, any questions, comments to us, anything we did so far?
What did
Rava
say?
Rava, with the last piece with Rava?
Yeah.
Right, so in the Brisa, when the Brisa says that the Cholim will eat the kara, which is the squash, with the bread, he's not talking about like a sick person suffering from flu or some other illness. He's talking about a tamid chacham, that they would eat the squash with their bread. That's what he's saying. That's okay for them. That's fine for them. It's just the cholim it's not good for. But the tamid chacham, they're a little like weaker, but it's okay for them. All right. Let me take one more thing. I was bothered with this thing with the cooked dish. I just want to see one thing here. Yeah. Now, with the squash, I assume the squash would be cooked and not eaten raw. Now, with tapshil, I assume you cooked it. That's what I would think. But, all right, I'm going to move on. All right, any other questions, comments, thoughts? All right, let's go. Mem Ten with Bays. We're at the third line from the top, okay? So, umutar ba'avis. So, if a person took a nether, he's not going to eat a tapshil, so he can't have, like, a thin cooked item. But a thick porridge, he could, because you don't typically eat that with bread. So he says, So our Mishnah apparently doesn't go like the Babylonians. The Amar Rabbi Zera Bablai Tipshoi Dachmi Lachba Blachba. He says, like the foolish Babylonians who eat their bread with bread, meaning like the thick porridge is like a grain type of item. So they have like a bread item with another bread item. So in other words, the solid bread with the thick porridge, it's like bread with bread. They're so foolish. So he says, so apparently the Babloi do eat their bread with a thick porridge, but our Mishnah doesn't go like that. In other words, where you are, where the Babylonians are that are eating like that, so if you take a netter from Tapshil, it would include the thick porridge, but our Mishnah holds not. It holds differently than that. So Amar Rav Chista, now here there's a question what the next word is, but the way Tosfos has, so he says, I wish there would be somebody that would ask the Nakdani the Hotzel. So Nakdani, if you look at the Ran, the fourth narrow line, he's got Nakrani, Oakland Benakir, that they're very clean. They eat with a lot of cleanliness. Or Lashon Acher, Nakdani, Shemedakkin Bachilatan. They're very fastidious in their eating. So let's see back in the Gemara. So Amar Rav Chista, Ika Demashi Lahon, And Tosfos has Ika Demashil Lahon. I think that's the way the article quoted it, but 1 second. Yeah, Tosfos has Ika Demashil Lahani Nakrani. Okay, so he says, so Amar Rav Chista Ika Demashil Lahon, Mahalein Nakdani de Hotzel, Adain Daisa, Hechin Maale Lamechla, Dechite Belachma, Dechite, excuse me, I didn't read it. Hechin Maale Lamechla, So let's say I'm having a porridge, a wheat porridge. So should I eat that? In other words, in Achinami, like you want to have a distinction between the foods. That's the idea. In other words, like the bread is a thicker, is a solid food. And then I have like this thinner, runny food. But they're having like the thick foods. That's the same. Do they make any distinction or not at all? In other words, they have like a wheat bread together with a wheat porridge. And so no distinction at all. And they have a barley bread together with a barley porridge. Or Odilma, the Chitei B'Desari. Or perhaps they have the wheat bread with the barley porridge. B'Desari, this is the barley bread, but the Chitei with the wheat porridge. In other words, do they make any distinction or not at all? So that's, he says, I wish somebody would ask them, but the Gemara doesn't record a response. Rava Achli b'chasise. So Rava, one second, let me get it over here. Okay. So he says, Rava ate his bread with a porridge made of flour of oven-dried grain. So he's saying, chasise is kimchut abishuna. Ground early red beers. All right. Anyway, that's the way Robert would have it. Okay. Now,
it's solid.
No. In other words, the idea is that you don't want everything to be this. Most people hold we don't want every food to be the same. I don't want the same. So I have distinction. So I have the bread, and I have like this loose sort of thing that I'm dipping it in or whatever. But the Babloi, they have like the thick porridge. It's like
thick,
so
thick,
right? So the thick with thick is lachma b'lachma. So, but in Achinami, they're having like the thick with the thick, but they make some distinction. Do they have like wheat bread with the barley porridge or do they even go with wheat? Everything is a Zalbazach, you know? Right. So the Gemara doesn't, so I wish somebody would ask them, but it doesn't. Then it says, Rava Achle b'chasise. So Rava would eat his bread with a part made of flour of oven dried grain. So I don't know where that comes out on it, but that's the way it's coming. So, now let's see.
Carbon carp.
So Michael says we're quoting from the article that it's supposed to barley. He says Steinfeld, rather.
He says it's ground from early ripened ears of wheat that have been roasted. It sounds a little different than what you would say with barley, but such flour retains a sweet flavor permanently. All right, let's see back on the Gemara. Did you want to say something, Fern? Or? What, say again, what? It says other people say wheat. Okay. Well, do you want
to
say something?
No, it sounds like there's no protein to this meal.
Yeah,
it's
the meal.
Carb and carb.
Yeah, what can I tell you? All right, let's take a look further.
I'll just say it's lentil.
Oh, yes. And Michael says, putting Steinsville, some say lentil flour. Okay. Now, Rabba Bar Rav Huna, Ashkei the Rav Huna, the Ka'akil Daisa Besbate. So Rabba Bar Rav Huna encountered Rav Huna, who was eating the Daisa, like this porridge, with his fingers. Amar Le, Amai Ka'akil Mar, Biyadi, what are you eating with your hands? So Amar Le, Ha'akil Mar Rav, this is what Rav says, Daisa Besbata Basim, if you eat the porridge with your finger, that's tasty. The chol dechem betartin. If you use two fingers, even better. The chol dechem betlan. Three fingers, even better. So yes, the art was quoted that like the touch, the sense of touch. He quoted from Rabbeinu Bachya, I think from the Sefer of all Sefer Kata Kema. They quote that if you have like the sensory perception when you're eating, that it might enhance the eating experience. So let me see what he says here. He says in footnote 10, Rabbeinu Bachya, Shulchan Shel Arba, he says. There's another Sefer Kata Kema, but Shulchan Shel Arba, which is the end of Perek Aleph, writes that a sense of touch is part of the sense of taste. All right, but let's see back in the Gemara. He says, say again, repeat. Okay, so Amar Le Rav L'chia Brei, so Rav said to his son Chia, V'chein Amar Le Rav Huna L'Rabba Brei, Mizamnin Lach L'meichal Daisa. If somebody invites you to eat a meal with daisa, which is a thick porridge, ad parsa, in other words, you should travel up to a parsa. In other words, you get an invitation like that, travel up to a parsa to participate in it. Lamechal bisra de Torah, we invite you to eat a meal with the ox meat. And we had the ox meat earlier in our Masechta, right? He says, ad tlata parsa, then three parsa you should travel. Now, the Rashi / Mefarish, if you look at the 10th narrow line, says Mizamnin Lach Lechol Daisa Parsa Da Shetomachal Enu Soid Libcha Elad Hiluk Parsa. So the first shot the Rashi says, it sounds like it's like gas. In other words, that meal with the Daisa will fill you up for a Parsa. In other words, you have the meal and go like a Parsa with it. In other words, like that it'll work that way. Ubasar Shor Shosh Parsa. You eat Basar Shor, then you're good for three parsa is like 12 mil. You got good for a longer distance. But the other pshat is, he says, in yinacher, mizal l'chol daisa ad parsa, lechar daisa l'chol, utfei lo, l'chol basar shor, lechad shtosh parsa. In other words, go up to a parsa, don't bother. If you're invited for the daisa meal, don't bother going more than a parsa. And if you're for the bistro, the Torah, then go up to three parsas. Okay, back in the Gemara. Amar le Rav l'chia b'rei. Rav said to his son Chia, don't spit out anything in the presence of your Rebbe, Labarman Kara Vidaisa, except for the Kara is the gourd or the squash, and Vidaisa is like the thick porridge. Shindomin Lipilta Shall Avar. It's like a rod of lead, you know, or a rope of lead. He says, Rafilu. You know, actually, the Pilshal Avar, that's how, like, the Bezin would heat it up, and that would be the Strefa. He says, Vapilu Kami Shavur Malka Plot. And even if you're kind of Shavur Malka, there's always something a Persian connection. Even the do spit, in other words, do spit it out. Even if you're the presence of Shavur Malka, it's horrible. Okay. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Huda, Karachil Daisa Besbate. Rabbi Huda, Rabbi Yossi were gathered together for a meal. One ate the dice of the porridge with his fingers. One ate it with a piece of bark. So, or else, they put it in the article that Rashi elsewhere says could be a leaf of the lulav, but he's like fashioning like a type of spoon, which is the way that Rabbi Leibowitz was saying. So, Amar le da'achil behutza, so the one who is eating with this like bark or leaf or whatever, the da'achil behutza, the one eating with his fingers, amatai tamachalini, so what, how long are you going to? Like apparently they're having it from a common bowl. So he says, how are you going to feed me like this disgusting dirt you're putting in? So I think the Ran says he had dirt under his fingernails. He says, if you look at the Ran, he says, it's disgusting. So Amar le, the one eating with his fingers is the one who was eating with the woodless, not with the fork, which is the bark. He says, Amatam, who says fork? Well, who's he quote that says fork? Yeah. All right, you work on that and then we'll come back. Okay. But if the Ron says who says klipereitz, the Ron says it's a piece of the wood. So he says, Amalei da achibus say the achibahutza, Amatai tamachalin rocha. How long are you gonna feed me your spittle? In other words, if you eat with like the spoon, right, you're eating, and then you stick it in. But with the fingers, apparently it would wipe off the fingers before you stick it in. So Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, and now this is your time to shine, Michael. It says Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, Aitul Kamayu is on site. He says Belufsin. And when Belufsin is this type of fig, he says, Rabbi Yehuda achal, Rabbi Yehuda ate the fig, Rabbi Shimon lo achal, Rabbi Shimon didn't eat it. Amarle Rabbi Yehuda, my time lo achal mar, he says, how come you're not eating? Amarle Rabbi Shimon, Eloin yotzim b'bnei me'ayim kol ikar. He says, like, these never leave the intestines. In other words, it's like you get ungestopped with it. It's like it doesn't get out of the body. So Amarle Rabbi Yehuda, so Rabbi says, "Kol shkein shnusmachalein l'machar." It's better. Like we'll subsist over it till tomorrow. It doesn't leave the body. We'll be able to like live off of it for a longer period of time. I just would say from our medical. Okay.
Pizza literally refers to one of the hard thorny leaves of the palm tree. However, it was apparently also used as a reference to certain utensils.
Who is he quoting from that? All right. Anyway, so Mike
was, according to this, we should eat figs before Yom Kippur.
We should what? Eat figs. Okay. Well, anyway, Michael says hutza according to Steinsel means a fork, but I don't know. But he doesn't. Well, all right. Anyway, now or let's see back on the door. I'm happy with the rod. Okay. What's up? That's what Fern was saying. You should eat the figs before the fast. That's what he thought. So, anything to say about figs in terms of digestion?
Yeah, some people have problems with them, but others don't. Some people say it causes diarrhea, and some people say it gives them constipation. That's what he's saying.
All right. Well, who says diarrhea and constipation? You were Rabbi Steinzel.
Me, Rabbi Steinzel, deferred to the physician.
Okay. Let's see back on the Gemara. Okay, now. Okay, so we're on the third wide line on Mentenum and Bates. Rabbi Huda Habayatev coming to Rabbi Tarfon. Rabbi Huda was sitting before Rabbi Tarfon, and Rabbi Tarfon is his Rebbe. So Amarle Rabbi Tarfon, Ayom Panecha Tzuvim. He says, like, your face is glowing today, Rabbi Huda. So Amarle, Emesh Tzuv Adech L'Steb, says, yesterday your servants went out to the field. Bevi Ulanu Tradin Ba'achal Num Belo Melach. They brought back beets, and we ate it. It means that I ate it without salt. Ve'imachal Num Belo Melach. If I eat it with salt, then even more would my face glow. So now there's going to be three incidents. Amra hi matronitil Rabbi Yehuda, a certain Roman noblewoman said to Rabbi Yehuda, Morev Rabbe, like in other words, each one used Rabbi Yehuda with a glowing countenance. So first is his Rabbi, and he ascribes it to the beast. But then this Roman noblewoman says to Morev Rabbe, like you're teaching an intoxicated. So the article said it's a play on the term Mori Barabi, like you don't say like, you know, my teacher and my master, but he says Morev Rabbe, like you're teaching, like she sees him with a glowing face, she figures he's intoxicated. Amarla, Hinuta Biada the Hietta, which is like a Shua, Itaina Ela Kidusha Babdalta, Yarba Kasi de Pisha. Because the only thing I ever have to drink is Kiddush and Abdallah and the four cups of wine on Leil Pesach. The Chobrani Tzidayim in a Pesach on Atzeret. And like I have to like wrap my temples from Pesach till Shavuos because I can't handle the wine. El Chachman Adam Thir Panav. He says, in other words, she's describing his glowing face to intoxication. He says, I have almost nothing to drink during the year. The only time I drink is I have Kiddush on Friday night. I have four cups of wine at Pesach, and that's it. And then Havdalah, and then the four cups of wine on Pesach give me a headache. I'm wrapping my head, you know, till Shavuos. He says, "Ela chachman adam to your panav." He says, "The chachma is what illuminates the face." Then
look.
All right. Let me do one more, and then we'll come. Now, Rabbi Yehuda himself says, Then the third instance is Amarle Ahut Stuki Rabbi Yehuda. A certain Stuki said to Rabbi Yehuda, each one gets worse. First the Rabbi, then the Roman noblewoman, then the Stuki is like the Sadducee. He says, and sometimes Stuki is like a non-Jew anyway. So he says to Rabbi Yehuda, Panecha Domim, your face looks like Ikamal Bei Ribbit, like the people who lend money usuriously. Ikamagali Chazir, the people who raise like the pigs. In other words, they make a lot of money, so they look, they're happy. So Amar Lei, Yehudai Tarbai Wasiran. It says, among Jews, they're both prohibited. Ela Esrim Yarba Beit Akise Itlim and Beita Bei Medrasha. I have like 24, but from the house to the base medrash. B'chol Shabashani Nichlas L'chol Kabichad. And every hour I can go to each one or whatever. So the way the art school had a nice piece, they didn't quote anybody off. One second. He says like this. This is in footnote 27 of the art scroll. Gemara records three different queries about Rabbi Yehuda's shining countenance from three different observers. Rabbi Tarfon was Rabbi Yehuda's teacher. His own wisdom presumably shone through his face. So Rabbi Yehuda was glowing countenance. The noble woman, who presumably lived a pampered life, saw an intoxicated man. And the religiously estranged Saduki, the person engaged in illicit businesses. Each seemed to have seen something of himself or herself in what they observed. In other words, like I'm seeing something reflecting on myself. So the first one said, so he says like this, Rabbi Yehuda gave each the answers appropriate to him. To his teacher, he spoke modestly. The noble woman, he spoke reassuringly. The Stuki, he spoke acidly. But the true answer to these questions is given by the Gemara, a man's wisdom brightens his face. So here, the way the article describes it is the Gemara says, Chachman Adam to your Panav. So the way the article is saying, it's not Rabbi Yehuda saying it, so the Gemara is saying, now, Rabbi Libus is mentioning that someone to bring a proof from this Gemara, there's a mitzvah, Chayav Inish Lebasumi B'Puriyad, Blayada Bing, Avraham and the Baruch Mordechai. A person has to become intoxicated in Purim, so he doesn't know. So someone is saying from this Gemara, you see this somewhat negotiable. Because the Gemara says the only time he would drink, is Kiddush and Abdallah, and the four cups of Pesach and Adoraisa, it's the Rabbanon. So and those are the only things he would drink, and not anything else. So someone is saying that drinking on Purim could be somewhat negotiable depending on the circumstances. Because see, the Rabbi Yehuda, he only drinks Friday night, and then he has Abdallah, and then he has the four cups on Pesach, and otherwise not. But then someone account to that and say, why did he have to wrap his head till Shavuos? His Shavuos is Matan Torah. And somehow, the fear of Matan Torah, cleaned them out from this wine. So they want to say Purim is also a time of Matan Torah, like Kimu Kiblu Yehudim. And so, he didn't have a problem with drinking the wine on Purim because he got cleaned out right away. But the only thing is, though, that Lechora, he should mention it, but I don't know. Anyway, but he's just a horror with that. Okay, I'm going to wrap it up with the doc, unless anybody... Say again, repeat. Yeah, it means that he's describing to himself that he's like comfortable. I don't know if it means every hour he's going. It means he's got the bathrooms readily available, and he's right. He's not like holding back. Yeah. He's not holding back himself, but that's his way of ascribing sort of a positive way. The reason he's glowing is Chachmana. It's Chachmana Adam to your Panav. That's the reason he's glowing. But he's giving everybody an answer to fit them. All right. Now let's see back on the Gemara. Okay. Now, Rabbi Yehuda Karazil Bei Medrasha. When Rabbi Yehuda would go to the base medrash, Shekel Kufa Katbe, he would carry this jug on his shoulders to sit on. Always when he gets to the base medrash. Amar Gdol Malacha Shemechabed Baaleha. That Malacha is good. It's Mechabed the people who do it. Now, the only thing is, there's a Gemara that says, a Talmid Chacham shouldn't do work in front of where other people see him. There's, some demeaning for him. But he was saying, this type of malacha was okay. We'll see in a minute. Rav Shimon Shakil Tzana al Katbe. Rav Shimon took a basket on his shoulder. Same thing to sit on. Amar Gula Malacha Shabachar Abed Abalaham. That malacha is good. It's Mechabe, the people who do it. So, here in the art scroll, they quoted, Right. Quotes in footnote 28, The Gemara in Kiddushin on Daf Ayin says the Torah scholar should not engage in menial labor in public. The Yehuda excuses public slave demeaning labor by pointing out that this people labor served to honor him in the long run. He would not be forced to sit on the ground in the study hall. So in Elkanami, like, he normally shouldn't do malacha, like, demeans him, but he's doing malacha, so he shouldn't have to, like, sit on the floor. And, okay. All right, let me go. Say again, repeat. Where? So the Tana Rib Shimon is normally Rib Shimon Bar Yochai. You're right about that. So I don't know. Yeah, so Rib Shimon would study all the time. That's true, but it depends what. Yeah, but it depends what you mean. But like he means don't work. He means don't go out and do work, you know, to make money. We'll have confidence in Kadosh Baruch Hu. I mean, like, if you define malacha, you know, like, it doesn't mean like he didn't write. You know, writing is also malacha. You know, like that. So he's doing effort. It doesn't mean don't do effort. Like, you can't make his bed in the morning. You know what I mean? You know, he's saying, like, you could say that it means that, like, that this type of malacha, which I am doing, is normally I'm a Talmid Chacham. I shouldn't demean myself by doing malacha in public. But I'm bringing my chair that I could sit on. That type of, that's what he's saying. Okay. All right, let's see back in the Gemara. Now, all right, got to wrap this up. Okay, now, the Bithud Rabbi Yehuda, the wife of Rabbi Yehuda, Nakat Amra, she got some wool. He says, Avdu Glima Dehutbe. She made like this nice, you know, coat, wool cloak. Kanafkat Lashuka Mechsibe. When she would go to the marketplace, she would cover herself with it. The Kanafik Rabbi Yehuda Tzaluye. And when Rabbi Yehuda would go out to Davin, have a Mechsei Umitzale. He would cover himself with the cloak and pray as well. So this gets into an issue. Right. That's the issue that it gets into. We'll talk about it. So this is Bekan, he says, but 1 second, let's wait, let's all hold off for 2 minutes. Because Michsibe, when he would cover himself with the cloak, Havavarech, Ruch Sha'atani Me'il. Bless Hashem, I assume he said B'Shem Malchut, who is like wrapping with meal. So he says, Zim Lechada, so once, Gazar Ramashim Gamaliel Tanita, Tan Rishulia was Gozer fast, Rabbi Yehuda Loat Lebei Tanita. Rabbi Yehuda didn't show up for where they were davening. He says, Amin Lei, So they said, Amistami, it's not coming because they had nothing to wear, like appropriate wearing. So Shadali Galima below Kabil. So he, Rosh Gamaliel, sent him like this cloak to cover himself with. Now, the cloak that his wife had, maybe the wife was wearing the cloak, or it could be that this incident might have taken place before the wife made the cloak, but he didn't have a cloak. So this is Shadali Galima below Kabil. Sent him Galima below Kabil. The top line of Nun Amad Aleph. Dali Tzifta, so the Shliach comes, and Rabbi Yehuda, he lifts up the mat, and he shows that there's like all this money underneath the mat. He says, V'amarli l'shlucha chazi ma'ika, see what's there. So the Ran says, chazi ma'ika ma'asei nisim ha'benaki. And 1 second. If you look at the Rush says, Hidbiya ma'chatzel v'samachal anes, shirei shama'od. He relied on a miracle, there'll be money there. So he says, Chazi Ma'ika, Mihu Lo Nichali did Hani Badein Alba. But I don't want to get Hana from, in other words, he wasn't going to use the money anyway. But he's saying, I don't want to get Hana from this world. In other words, he didn't want Rav Shmuel to be insulted that he's not going to take the cloak from there. So he relied that Hashem would perform a miracle. And he said, like, I have the money to get the cloak, but I don't want to get Hana from this. Okay, look. Well, say again what? Repeat. From the Tanis. Okay. One second. We'll try to address everything. So first, let me talk about the cloak with the man and the female, and we'll take a little bit of that. So, so he doesn't really say here, but 1 second, there's another piece here, I think, about it. So. Anyway, so the idea is, it could be like this. That it could be that if the cloak isn't designated for male or female, possibly you could wear it. That would be one way to look about this. But the now in terms of the fast, so Rabbi Yehuda was missing at this with the fast, And the Nayla Mishpat said miracles would rarely occur in his merit. So he says, so Rabbi Yehuda did not summon this miraculous display in order to glorify himself. He means like this. So in Achinami, it sounds like he didn't have anything to wear and he felt maybe embarrassed to go out. And Mela, so we're real sense in the cloak, but he doesn't feel comfortable accepting the cloak as a gift. So he says, see what's under the mat, and then there's money under the mat, and like as if to say, I have enough, but I don't want to benefit from things in this world. And Lachor, that's one way to understand this whole thing. So,
better for him to stay home?
So I don't. From here, it sounds like that way. Now, one second, where are we holding? All right, so let me just see if I have another piece or two, and then that'll be it. All right, one minute. Yeah, I have it now. Okay. In his comments, the prohibition against wearing clothes of the agenda, the Sefer HaKinuch writes, there's no doubt that if men and women wore similar clothes, they would mingle. From this comment, the Shevet HaLevi, Rav Osner, infers the prohibition is not limited to wearing clothing of the other gender, but even wearing clothing that is made for men and women alike would violate this prohibition. In other words, let's say there's like sort of unisex clothing. So the Shevet HaLevi says that's no good, because like the men and women are going to like mix together too much. So Rav Yaakov Emden, however, cites amongst other sources our Gemara, it clearly indicates that this is acceptable for men and women to wear the same garment, because in our Gemara, they're wearing the same cloak. Now, he says, the Shuvah's Oalei Yaakov was asked a related question. In a country where there is no difference between garments manufactured for men and garments manufactured for women, is it permitted for a woman to wear a garment that a man manufactured for himself? Is this a violation of the prohibition against a woman wearing a man's garment, since a man made it for himself, or perhaps it does not violate the prohibition since the garment is worn by both genders? In response, he cited our Gemara's precedent, there's no such prohibition. He then proceeds to note that perhaps the case of the Gemara is not exactly subject to the inquiry. In the Gemara's case, the garment was not designated as a male or female garment, as opposed to the inquiry where the man made the garment for himself. In other words, he said, this is going to be my garment, as possibly designated as a garment for males. Nevertheless, he writes that it does not appear from the earlier halakhic authorities that they made this distinction. And therefore, a garment that is, please, I need silence, does not carry any restriction related to this prohibition. Rabbi Kiva Eger, citing other authorities, raises that. Rabbi Kiva Eger, citing other authorities, raises the next question of which population is taken into account to determine whether a garment is considered male, female, or unisex. Do we count only the Jews and their practice and custom regarding clothing, or take it to the non-Jewish population? The question, whoever's left on the top. Okay, I got to call it. Nice having everybody. I'll see you. Bye-bye, Aaron Moshe. Bye-bye, Fern. Bye-bye, Mordechai. Okay, bye-bye, Ruth. Bye-bye, Melissa. Okay, bye-bye. Bye-bye, everyone. Yeah, tomorrow's Rabbi Akiva. Tomorrow we're having Rabbi Akiva. Okay, now.
Thank you, Rabbi.